For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, The Ego and the Superego, as we pick up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
In writing to the Corinthians in his second epistle, Paul said, "We know that when this earthly tent, our body, is dissolved, that we have a building of God that is not made with hands, that is eternal in the heavens. So then, we who are living in these bodies do often groan, earnestly desiring to be freed from the body. Not that we would be unembodied spirits, not that we would be naked, but that we might be clothed upon with the body which is from heaven. For we know that as long as we are living in this body, we are absent from the Lord, but we would choose rather to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we be accepted of him." The Bible, you see, teaches that man basically is a spirit living in a body, possessing a consciousness. The body is the instrument that God has given to me to be the medium by which I can express myself. The body is not me. It's only a tent in which I'm living for a while. A tent that is gradually wearing out. And when this tent wears out, when the body, through age, accident, illness, can no longer fulfill the purposes for which God planned and designed, then God in his love is going to release my spirit from this body. And when this tent is dissolved, I have a building of God not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And so death for the child of God is just moving day when you move out of the tent and into the house. The building of God not made with hands. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to prepare one for you." I heard the other day of some high-pressured evangelist who had some vision of dying and going to heaven and the Lord showing him his glorious new mansion. And he described, you know, the columns and everything. I know. Well, I hope my body doesn't look like that when I get there. The word is actually, there are many abiding places. I'm going to prepare one for you. The building of God, not made with hands, eternal in heaven. It's a reference to our new bodies that our spirits will move into. Bodies that are designed by God to exist in the environmental conditions of heaven, even as God designed these bodies to exist in the environmental condition of the planet Earth. And he made them out of the earth for the earth. So God has made a new body for me that is designed by God to exist in the environmental conditions of heaven. A universal model. One that is adaptable probably for all climes and environments. Whereas this body is quite limited. It is necessary that I keep it right here close to Earth. A couple of months ago up at Beale Air Force Base, we saw them suiting up the pilot for the SR-71. Going to fly that thing up 85,000 feet or so. And so as they suited him up, it's the very same suits that they use in the for the astronauts, moon flights and all. And we watched him as they put on the suit, fasten on the helmet, fasten everything down, and then pressurized it, checked all the gauges to see that there was no leaks. The man who was giving us the briefing said that when you get up to 80,000 feet, if you did not have this pressurized suit on, the fluids in your body would begin to boil. And they would pass right on out through the skin. Because the body is made and designed to withstand the 14 pounds of pressure per square inch. You get up there, you don't have that pressure pushing against the body. And so you have to put on the pressure suit. God could give us all pressure suits. But we saw this guy as he then walked out to the van, and they were carrying the two tanks of nitrogen and oxygen, and he had to walk sort of funny because of the suit and all, and clomped on out, and they helped him to get in the van, and then they helped him out of the van and up the ramp and into the SR-71, where he sat down and then took off and went skyward. But God has designed a new body, a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Vastly superior to the body that we now have. One that will not know aging processes. One that will not experience pain. Directly from God, perfect. One that will not age or grow tired. And so we who are in these bodies do often groan, earnestly desiring to be delivered or move out. Not that I would be unembodied, an unembodied spirit out there in the ethereal universe someplace, but that I might be clothed upon with the body which is from heaven. Now, another aspect of the whole thing that needs to be taken into consideration, and that is, I live in a time dimension continuum while I'm in this body and living on the planet Earth. And so I talk about last week and next week. And I think of things in terms of past, present, and future. The moment I leave the earth plane, the body plane, I enter into the eternal where there is neither past or future, but everything is present. So, to be absent from the body is to be present in the eternal presence of the Lord. So you can't really say that something is future once you enter into the eternal, for everything is now. Those who are asleep in Jesus, the Lord is going to bring with him when he comes. For we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord aren't going to precede them. They have preceded us. But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ have risen first, really. And we who are alive and remain at that point shall be caught up to meet them together with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now that's the important thing. So shall we ever be with the Lord. The Lord is coming again to this earth to establish his kingdom reign. And he shall rule and reign over the earth for 1,000 years. So shall we ever be with the Lord. We will come and we will reign with him as a kingdom of priests upon the earth. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so the rapture of the church, the catching up, Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We're not going to all sleep, but we're all going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. For this corruption must put on incorruption, And this mortal must put on immortality. We won't die, but there is a necessary change. We will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as we move out of our tents and into our new buildings of God, not made with hands, the new bodies that God has prepared for us. How old will I be? What will I look like? Sort of hang on to what they look like. Personally, I don't anticipate having gimpy football knees anymore. And I imagine I will have a head of hair and a few other things that I've been missing for a while. Won't be wearing these glasses. It's interesting, we really don't know. Except that Paul said, some of you will say, how are the dead raised, and what kind of a body will they come? In other words, when they come with Jesus, what kind of a body will they have? Will we know them? Will we recognize them? And he said, when you plant a seed into the ground, it does not come forth into new life until it first of all dies. And then, notice, the body that comes out of the ground is not the body that you planted. But God gives it a body as pleases him. So is the resurrection of the dead. I don't expect this body to be resurrected and refurbished, refitted. I'm looking forward to moving into a whole new model, a building of God not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The body that comes out of the ground is not the body that you planted. All you planted was a bare grain, by chance wheat or some other grain, and God has given it a body as pleases him. So is the resurrection of the dead. We are planted in corruption, but we're going to be raised in incorruption. We are planted in weakness, but we're going to be raised in power. We are planted in dishonor, we're going to be raised in glory. We are planted as a natural body, we're going to be raised as a spiritual body. And the difference between the celestial and the terrestrial and so forth, and as we have borne the image of the earth and been earthy, so shall we bear the image of the heavens. So, you can interpret and understand that as you wish, but I am looking forward to that building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, that new body where my spirit shall dwell, and I shall live and be with him in his kingdom forever. That's the important thing. This corruption must put on a metamorphosis, change of body, and the Bible teaches that's what death is to the child of God. Now, of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. But when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, and here's the key, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. The day of the Lord is coming. Jesus referred to his coming as a thief in the night. But Paul is saying, you are the children of the light, so that that day should not overtake you as a thief. I believe that the Lord intended us to be knowledgeable of Bible prophecy and thus knowledgeable of the signs of his coming. And certainly there are interesting signs of his coming in the world today. Israel existing as a nation, tremendous sign of the coming again of Jesus Christ. Europe gathered together in a community of 10 nations, an interesting sign of the return again of Jesus Christ. the capacity of man to destroy himself off of the planet Earth. Another sign, for except those days be shortened, no flesh would remain, but for the elect's sake they shall be shortened. The development of electronic funds transfers. The development of an ID system. Now putting a computer chip upon a card that can store all kinds of information, even record and keep in memory every transaction that you've made with the card. Being used now in Europe, being tested in France, used in Europe as a possible model for a worldwide monetary system. And the talk of taking that same computer chip, because the cards are lost and stolen, and implanting it within a person's wrist. So a mark, an identity, where people buy and sell with that mark and identity. Of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. You know he's coming as a thief, but you're not the children of darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You're children of the light, children of the day, not of night nor of darkness. And therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now, as Jesus talked in the 24th chapter of Matthew concerning his coming again, there were two things that he emphasized on into chapter 25. One, watch. Two, be ready. Paul here is emphasizing watch, be sober. And so I do believe that it is the intent of the Lord that his church in all ages live in anticipation of his imminent return. And that two things they should, number one, be watching, and number two, they should be ready. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, praise the Lord, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. God's wrath is going to come upon the earth. Jesus said, quoting from Daniel, and there shall be a time of great tribulation such as the world has never seen before or ever see again. And in the book of Revelation from chapter 6 through 18, we have details of that great judgment of God that will be coming upon the earth. This great judgment that is coming in the book of Revelation is called in the book of Revelation the day of his wrath, the wrath of his indignation being poured forth. Call unto the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the face of the Lamb and from his judgment, for the day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? As far as the church is concerned, Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation. But Jesus identifies Satan as the culprit behind the tribulation that the child of God experiences living on this alien world. Tribulation is being God and his judgment as he comes to judge those who are dwelling upon the earth. And when the wrath of God is poured out, we have not been appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord. And that is why we should be watching and we should be sober. Jesus said that that day is going to come and catch many as a snare. And so pray that you'll always be accounted worthy to escape these things that are going to be coming to pass upon the earth and to be standing upon before the Son of Man. For as a snare shall it come upon the earth. And therefore, he warns us against drunkenness, against surfeiting, against living after the flesh, that we be caught unaware. And so the same message of watching, be sober, be diligent. The Lord has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. That is the whole thing. Whether I'm dead or alive, I'm going to be living together with him. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And if you live and believe in me, you'll never die. I'm never going to die. I'm going to always live for Jesus and with Jesus. And whether, you know, in this body or in my new body, I'm going to be living with him. So as Paul said, whether we wake or sleep, we are living together with him, in one form or the other, in this body or my new one. I won't die. I will be living together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and build up one another even as you do. And so the building up of one another in Christ, the encouraging of one another in the Lord. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. So those that God has chosen to have the oversight of the body of Christ, to minister to them and admonish them in the truth of God, Paul said, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves.
Have you ever wrestled with questions about your relationship with God? In his book, Six Vital Questions of Life, Pastor Chuck looks at six life-changing questions asked by the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans and reveals the powerful biblical answers behind them. With clear teaching and practical insight, Pastor Chuck shows how these questions speak directly to our lives today, helping us better understand God's grace, his purpose, and his plan for every believer. If you've ever struggled with doubt, wondered about your standing with God, or simply want a deeper understanding of your faith, this encouraging book will reassure you and strengthen your walk with the Lord. Discover how God's truth can transform your life. Order Six Vital Questions of Light today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD. Six Vital Questions of Life, biblical answers to strengthen your walk with God. Now here's Pastor Chuck.
And now may the Lord help you to assimilate that which we have studied, and may he bring to your remembrance those things which he has commanded. And may you be enriched in the knowledge of God and his will and his plan for your life. May the Lord be with you, to bless you, to guide you, and may you be kept by that power of God through faith and trust in him. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 1 Thessalonians on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673. Or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 1 Thessalonians 4 through 5. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.